continue to hear the story of Jesus through the words of Mark, we find Jesus in the temple. He continues to teach the crowds who gather to listen. He gives them a warning about corrupt leaders, and then encourages his disciples to notice the faithful act of a marginalized woman. As he taught, Jesus said, "Watch out for the teachers of the law. They like to walk around in flowing robes and be greeted in the marketplace, and have the most important seats in the synagogues, and the places of honor at banquets. They devour widows' houses, and for a show, make lengthy prayers. Such men will be punished most severely." Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put and watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in large amounts. But a poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins worth only a fraction of a penny. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, "I tell you the truth, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They all gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, she put in everything, all she had to live on." This is the word of the Lord.
I don't know how many of you are following along with our Lenten devotional, but this has become one of the highlights of my year here at Highland, is to get these glimpses into your stories and your life and how God is at work in you every day. And each year it just continues to be a huge blessing to me. So if you haven't signed up for this, you still have a couple of weeks of Lent left. So you can check that box on your information card, communication card, and get in on that. And there's also copies of these available today too. But it's been a really exciting time to read through how God has spoken to you and guided you and led you to do different things in this last year. And I just love getting those glimpses, those moments of how God is at work. And as we've walked through Mark together, your stories have enriched my reading. Understanding how you see God calling you has helped me see ways that God might be calling me. And I think that's a beautiful way that we grow together in community of faith. And on Thursday, Kathy shared about the story of the widow's offering in Sunday school. She said that was her first exposure to this story, was from her dear Sunday school teacher. And I'm sure that that is where I heard the story for the first time, often before we collected money for missions or for the general offering. As they were teaching about stewardship and tithing and how important it is to give, we often heard this story of the widow who gave it all. And the widow has become an example for all of us to give everything that we have because it all belongs to God. She has become a major example of faithful generosity. And I'm grateful for the Sunday school teachers who taught me that long ago, which I hope you're grateful for the teachers who've shown you that too. In verse 44, Jesus tells us that the widow put in everything, all that she had to live on. And one commentary I read said that the small coins represented about 1/64th of a denarii, which was the amount that a laborer would expect to get paid for one day's worth of work. So if you worked for 64 days, she would have had the same amount that somebody would have worked for one day. 1/64th, this tiny, tiny amount, pennies. And the word in Greek in verse 44 is bios. You probably recognize that word, right? Biology, the study of living things. And in Greek, it can be translated two ways. It can either be translated your life, or it can be translated in that idea of your living wage. And I just want you guys to pause for a minute and think about the subtle shift that happens when, instead of focusing on the living wage, you would think about it as the woman gave her entire life. Instead of just thinking about her finances, think about what it meant for her to give everything that she was to God. As I've been pondering and wondering about this passage for the last few weeks, I found myself thinking about, did Jesus notice this woman before she put in the offering? He kind of hung out there for a while. We know Jesus' story. I remember back when he was 12 years old and his parents lost him for a little while, and he hung out in the temple for several days till they found him. He liked to hang out. It wasn't like our church where we come for like an hour or two. People would spend a long time there. They would hang out, hang around, and listen and learn from one another. So Jesus had probably been there for a long time. And I wonder if he had caught glimpses of this woman before she put her coins in the offering. Maybe she had been listening to his teaching, just sitting on the edges, trying to hear, getting glimpses of what he was sharing. Maybe he saw her over on the side praying quietly. Maybe she walked past with a broom a few times and he just caught a glimpse of her. Maybe she was in the kitchen making coffee and Rice Krispie treats so that people could enjoy some fellowship. As I've wondered about this nameless woman to whom Jesus introduces us, I have begun to picture the many faithful women that I have known, some of them widows, some of them never married, some of them young, some of them old, some of them right in the middle. And their faithfulness has taught me some of what it means to follow Christ through times of grief, disappointment, fear, joy, celebration, through times of plenty and times of lacking. Think about the people in your life who have helped your faith grow. Who are those faithful widows that you've known? Those people whose lives are best described as faithful. Well, Jesus had been teaching in the temple for a while now, and we've spent the last several weeks looking at his teaching. He has shared parables, he's talked about marriage, and really exciting things like taxes and authority. He's reminded people to love God and love others. Last week we heard that that's the greatest commandment. He has taught us big, important things during this time in the temple. And I think it's really incredible that in the last few moments that Jesus is in the temple, he chooses to point this woman out to his disciples. While others might have tried to have a big finale, their big theological arguments heard, or finish their speech with something that people will remember for years to come, a rally cry for people to hold on to, a grand exit, Jesus chooses to draw everyone's attention to someone who is easily overlooked, a poor, nameless widow who gave her whole life to God. Because I think that was Jesus' whole point. That's what God wants from us. We don't need to understand every major or minor theological argument. We don't have to make millions of dollars. We don't have to have a particular social standing. We don't have to fit into a mold that the world has deemed us useful or important. All God wants is for us to give him our whole lives, our whole selves. Every year at Midwinter, which is the conference for covenant pastors, when you check in, you get your name badge and your schedule, and then they hand you a bag of books, which is totally my love language. So one of the books they gave us this year was Choose and Choose Again by J. Kevin Butcher, he's a pastor in Detroit at Hope Community Church. And it's a really powerful book about God's transforming love, and the ways that this pastor has experienced God's love in his own life, and then also the ways that he has seen God's love redeem and restore lives over and over again. And he has experienced some incredible ways that God has transformed these lives. He works with murderers and rapists and gang members, addicts, people who are definitely on the fringes of society and experiencing the lowest of the lows. But one of the stories really grabbed my attention last week. And I want to share this story with you. His name is Keith, and he was born in 1952, the fifth of nine boys to a mom who worked as a nurse's assistant to support her large family. And he was born with a cleft tongue, but his family was too poor to do anything about it, so he spent most of his childhood not even being able to talk. Later, his developmental disability would become more obvious. His IQ would get tested and be very low. But he lived across the street from a woman known as Mama Summers. She took in all of the kids of the neighborhood and taught them how to care for their street. She would organize cleanup days and teach them how to sweep and pick up trash, and then she would pay them to do the work. And Keith came to one of these organized days and spent the day with her and received payment for his hard work, and he never missed one after that. He developed a deep relationship with Mama Summers that would transform his life. He went to church with her, and he grew to love Jesus the same way that Mama Summers did. As an adult, he continued to be a valuable part of the community, and the pastor interviewed the church treasurer to find out more about the faithful ways that Keith was involved. And she said that every week he would painstakingly write in his childlike handwriting his name and then the amount that he was giving, $2, $4, occasionally $5, each week. And he only missed a few weeks over the course of 10 years. One day, the treasurer asked Keith to walk her to her car. She needed to take the deposit with her, and she was scared to walk alone. So Keith went with her to protect her and be her bodyguard. And every day after that, every Sunday, he would meet her at the door and say, "Do you need a walk to the car?" And he would go with her. Well, when this woman shared her story, the church secretary said, "Oh, well, Keith, every morning on his way to work at the hardware store, he hollers my name from the street and waves at me through the church office window, and he stays there until I wave back and let him know that everything is okay in here." He was checking on her. And then another church member said, "You know what? I lived in our house for a year before I realized that it wasn't the landlord taking our trash cans back every day after the trashman would come. But it was Keith. On his way home from work, he would stop and put away her trash cans for her." And there were countless stories. As they started interviewing people about Keith, everyone had been touched by this individual. This person who was easily overlooked, who didn't have much to offer society by the ways that we measure people, lived a life filled with faith and great generosity. And I think that Keith's story reminds me of this widow that Jesus points out. A life filled with faith and generosity by giving your whole life, your whole being to God. And we can't look at this passage in Mark without considering the strong warning that is attached to it, right above it. Mark 12, 38 through 40. Jesus says, "Watch out for the teachers of the law. They like to walk around in flowing robes and be greeted with respect in the marketplaces and have the most important seats in the synagogues and the places of honor at banquets. They devour widows' houses and for a show make lengthy prayers. These men will be punished most severely." What a contrast in the personality between the faithful widow who gives her whole life and the teachers of the law who spend their lives tearing down others. Now, I don't really think that all of the teachers of the law back in Jesus' day were bad. There had to have been some good ones among them. There had to have been people who were faithful and loved God. They weren't all evil. But from the description that Jesus gives, there were some pretty bad apples in the bin. The leaders Jesus is calling out crave prestige and limelight. They wear the long robes to be recognized in public, longing for the acknowledgement that they are so important in society, rather than being simple leaders of their faith. These teachers of the laws had forgotten some of the very basic things that are in God's laws: to care for the widows, not to neglect or oppress them. And that language Jesus uses of tearing down the widows' houses, that's bringing them down to complete ruin. It's much more than just not taking care of them. And it seems like these leaders have disregarded God's law and even God himself. Throughout the Old Testament, God reminds his people to care for the widows and the poor. They represent the marginalized and the neglected. And that's exactly who these leaders had forgotten. Jesus is not mincing words with an attack on a religious practice that masks greed and egotism. Instead of caring for their flocks, some scribes seem to be appropriating the property of the poor and using that to prop up their own wealth. And I think that we would all call that despicable. But all too often, it's the church that fails to speak up when we see injustice and to challenge systems that perpetrate racism, poverty, discrimination, or oppression. Sometimes we're the ones who fail to make sure that our two cents are heard, that the message of justice, mercy, and compassion is proclaimed to all the corners of our society. When we fail to preach the gospel message that all are welcome in the kingdom of God, we're missing the whole point. When we fail to make room for others at the table, we're acting less like the faithful widow and more like the corrupt teachers of the law. Jesus calls us to be faithful with our whole life. Our bio. What describes your life? Are you seeking the validation of the world? Is your career what makes you who you are? Do you define yourself by the car that you drive, or the clothes that you wear, or by the dollar amount that you give to the church each month? Or is your life described by faith? Faith that God is enough. God is enough status, enough money, enough fortune, enough. Do you know that you are enough? Your whole life is enough for God, and that's all he's asking for. We don't have to get it all together, and we don't have to be perfect before we bring that life to God. He wants you just like you are. Today is Communion Sunday, and Augustine tells us that our duty is to present ourselves, all of who we are, to God in the communion meal. How can we take the grace and hope we find in the cup and the bread and make it live in our lives in ways that not only sustain us, but model for others the enormous power of offering all we are to the rest of creation? How do we share our lives with others as an offering to Christ? This morning you received a little paper coin as you came in to worship. I want to give you a couple of minutes to reflect on this passage. What is God asking you to give him? In what ways is God asking you to give more? Maybe God is leading you to be more generous with your time, with your talents, with your treasure. Maybe God wants to remind you that he is enough. Maybe God has been nudging you to look at the ways that we participate in systemic injustices like racism, sexism, ageism, economic injustices. Spend a few minutes writing a note to God. When you come up for communion, there'll be a jar up here that you can drop your coin in, just like the faithful widow dropped her coin in. You can bring it before God and drop it there and know that you are enough. That God is asking for your life, and that's what he wants. So I'll give you a couple of minutes to reflect on that, and then I'll come back up and close our time in prayer.